Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? I think you want to go first?
There we go.
Hey girls, it's time for us to get real serious about our ladies' retreat. Remember, it's going to be November 11th. November 11th and 12th. If all else fails, look at the little pamphlet. We've got some pamphlets. There's a little portion for you to fill out and get back to us. The cost is $20. Please don't let the cost be a factor. You know there are many people that would love to sponsor you if you cannot do that. So please come. The theme this year is Find Your People. And I think after COVID and us being kind of distant from each other for a while, I think we're coming back together, but let's get together and let's grow deeper in our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. So we're going to have a trailer that's going to show you a little bit about the study we're going to do while we're there. And please see Kim and I. Get signed up and come on.
We all feel isolated right now. We smile, we nod, and honestly, it's killing us slowly, quietly, and we've lost deep, safe connection that God built us for. It's time for us to actually look underneath the question of what makes us lonely and why are we lonely and to get free of it. Nothing in my relational life has helped me more than coming to terms with these three simple truths. You will disappoint me, I will disappoint you, and God will never disappoint us. You're going to find friendships in places that you didn't expect. The friendships you already have, they're going to deepen. I believe all of that. But they're all sinners. And so are you. And so this is going to be messy. We have to stay. If we have people to do life with, we can't quit them and start over every time it gets hard. I'm praying this changes everything in your life, that you view your family differently, that you view your friendships and neighbors differently, that you see that every person around you has the potential to come into your life and to change it in small and big ways. No more living alone.
All right, that's some good stuff. Y'all get signed up for that.
Our Halloween festival, we're doing it on the 31st, which is a Monday. So we're setting up on Sunday, and we still need candy and people to sign up for the chili cook-off. And there's a sign-up in the back here and then on Miss Betty's desk.
That one? All right, good. All right, I got a couple here. The October 23rd, I guess that's tonight. All right, business meeting at 6 o'clock. And then next Sunday will be our fifth Sunday dinner after the morning service. All right. Anyone else?
There she is. Y'all see Rachel? Come on up here. Thank you for double timing it. Rachel, y'all ready?
Y'all pray with me. God, I pray, thank you for all you bless us with, Lord. I pray for the families that are hurting right now. God, I pray for comfort for them. Lord, I pray that you be with us and guide us and lead us in everything we do, Lord. And pray that you would just be with us throughout this day and throughout this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come to receive the morning offering. We're delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. If you would fill that out for us and drop it in the offering plate, we'd have a record of your visit. One of our men will come lead us in prayer.
Let us bow. Our Father, we are indeed grateful and thankful for the opportunity that we have to join in this time of worship, worship with our gift and our offerings. But Father, most of all, we make ourselves available as we give ourselves to you to be directed in a way in which would be pleasing to you. And Father, again, we just want to say thank you for the many blessings. And as we give this morning, we just pray that you bless the gift and the giver, that it might be used to honor your kingdom. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're in charge of Children's Church. We're going to allow you to take charge of your group right now. That may try to bring us up to speed, and of course I can always, I usually make lots of mistakes, but we certainly want to be in prayer for the whole family, for Savannah and Jordan. Their little one went to be with Jesus this week. and this past week. And so there will be a open visitation time here at the church from 6 until 8 on Tuesday evening. And so they'll give you something certainly to be praying for strength for them and that family, lifting them up, Colberts and the Coles and all the ones that are close to that family and church family. And I know many of you have reached out, done everything that you can. You've certainly been lifting them up in prayer, and I think that they're riding on prayer right now. I think that they're able to get one foot in front of the other one because of that. And so I want to urge you to continue to do that. And it's going to be a private family funeral service here on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. So I want to urge you to keep that in your prayers as that family finds closure to their situation. And then the church is going to be involved in feeding the family at noon. The burial will be in the Carrollton Cemetery. And so I know you've already been doing that. I know they can feel the power of your prayers. And so I want to urge you to bear down and continue to pray and seek God's face and to bind Satan and plead the blood of Jesus upon this family as they go through this terrible tragedy and as they learn through God's grace to get one foot in front of the other and to continue on. And we'll be by them. The church will be by them, and we'll be supporting them in any possible way that we can. We have to go on, and they'll have to go on, and so we're continuing with ministry. The church is. I remember a few years ago doing a funeral for a young teenager. Well, it wasn't a young teenager. He was in college, actually. He'd just graduated from high school and was in college, and he was killed in a car wreck. And I did the funeral, and I remember as I visited with the family, the mother said, "I don't understand how the world can keep on going. Why are those cars moving out there on the highway? Why are people opening their businesses? And why is life going on? I've lost my son." And no matter how difficult it is, life has to go on. We have to learn how to get one foot in front of the other. And so that's what we'll do as a church, and hopefully that's what they'll do as a family. They'll find a way, and God's grace will find a way in their lives for them to be able to go on. And it would, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I was pro-life anyway. But it surely ought to make every one of us pro-life. If we're not, you're crazy. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the third chapter. Book of Romans, the third chapter. I see David and Rhonda back there. I started to pull a little shenanigan. I'm good at that. I wanted to be serious, though, and it's hard for me to do both at the same time. But I was going to just act like Rhonda was back there and David wasn't, and tell her how glad we was to have her. But we're glad to have y'all with us. Thank you for coming. David's our associational missionary. And Rhonda directs Informed Choices that our church has been involved in and continues to be involved in. So Romans, the third chapter, it's, of course, filled. If I could pick out chapter that I thought was most significant in Romans. All of God's Word is important. There's not any of us that's less than others. One discovery that I've made, and I've been in the ministry a good while, 50 years, and I've studied the Word for all that time, of course. But something that I've discovered, the longer I study God's Word, it seems like the less I know about it. Now, you may not have come to that place yet, but the more I know, the less I know. And there is so much. There's so much there in one page that we cannot comprehend all that there is there. So even if we did Romans verse by verse and word by word, it would still fail to be comprehensive. We would not be able to cover it all. The Bible says that when speaking of Jesus' words, that if all of it was recorded, there's not enough books to hold it all. The world couldn't hold the books of what Jesus has done and said. It's like God. We can't get it all. We can't get it all. And the greater, more powerful telescope that is discovered, then the universe is yet farther out there. And undiscovered planets and stars that they had not seen before. And that's the way the Word of God is. We stay in it. We study it. We work it out verse by verse and word by word. And yet we'll look at it again and there will be that we had not seen before that God reveals to us. We're going to start with verse 21. I'm jumping way ahead here, but this is how we're going to do it since I get to be in charge this one time. Let's stand and give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, Romans 3, and beginning with verse 21. And this is the righteousness of God is really the theme of this chapter. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That word manifest means it's uncovered. Now you can see it. Whether there's a law or not, there's still the righteousness of God being witnessed by the law. The law introduces us or opens the veil for us to see something of the righteousness of God and the commandments of God. But it also brings us to a place that we fall short, the Bible says. Even being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and this is, Paul is past the first five books, isn't he? He's got the Old Testament, he's got the Psalms and Proverbs, he's got the prophets. And so now he's got all this to study, and he says, all of them witness. All of them give witness, give testimony to the righteousness of God. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now look at it, it's getting ready to get deep. Unto most. Did you see it? Is that what your translation says? Uh-oh. By faith of Jesus Christ unto all. And upon all them that believe. I hope you're a believer. I hope you've put your trust in Jesus. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all, didn't say most, didn't say some, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. being justified freely by His grace. About three words there we want to look at: justified, freely, and also grace. Through the redemption, that's a good word, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be, and here's a word that we're going to talk some about, and it's a big old word for a boy from Gilbert, but it says propitiation. What in the world? What does that mean? But we're going to talk about propitiation through something. It's accounted to your account. Propitiation means accounted to your account through something. It's accounted to your account. It's accounted to your account through faith in His blood. Wow. To declare His righteousness for the remission. You know what that means? Of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law or works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Aren't you glad? Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, and I'm glad, aren't you? Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You may be seated. So we've moved through chapters 1 and chapter 2, and now we have arrived at chapter 3 and the latter part of that. So what have we learned so far? Well, we've learned the guilt of humanity before a just and a righteous God. We've learned that we do not stand a chance to be saved without the cross of Calvary. We've learned that man without God follows the natural steps of reprobation. Look back over to chapter 1. Look down at verse 26. What he says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and received in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It's the natural steps of reprobation. Thirdly, we learn that God judges according to truth, not the way we would. Religion, nor legalism, self-righteousness will gain us no favor with God. Because what God looks at, boys and girls, is that He looks beyond religion and He looks at our heart, what is in our heart. Now, He's going to, through this chapter, He's going to talk about people getting saved and what it takes for a person to be saved. And I hear stories. I heard a story this week about a man who goes to church every Sunday, and he's told his wife, he said, when I was a kid, my mother told me, now it's time for you to go up to the altar and let them talk to you. I was baptized, became a member of the church. So he said to his wife, I really don't know if I'm saved or not. So he's going to talk about how that religion cannot save us. He's going to talk about in this third chapter, church attendance cannot save us. Being a member of the church cannot save us. Being baptized cannot save us. Now, I'm in favor of all those things. I'm in favor of church membership. I'm in favor of baptism. Not in that order, the other way around. But the important thing, and this is what Romans 3 is talking about, is that salvation is a work of the Spirit in the heart. It's a work of the Spirit in the heart. And then it says, for all those who believe, under the same guideline, under the same weight, it would be an impossibility for me to stand before the Lord and say, well, I hope that my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. We get this on this scale. And I hope that all the things that I've done that would cross people's eyes over here, and everything that I might have done that would be a good deed over here, that I'm hoping that my good deeds would outweigh my bad deeds. Well, I'm telling you, if that's what you are depending on for eternal life, you're blowed up, because you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell if that's what you depend on. So this is what he's teaching in this chapter. He says, for all have sinned. Now, Roger gave us a real good illustration of the bow and shooting the bow, didn't he? He hit the mark. But I'll tell you what the Bible says, that every one of us has missed the mark. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if my hand, and have you ever seen this before? If my hand represents the glory of God, and where I must be in order to be saved, and this hand represents me, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, something must take place between here and here in order for me to be saved. And so Romans 3 explains what took place. That Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross and he took on himself, the Bible says that he took on himself the sins of the world. And so he took on all of my sin. He took on, are you hearing me today? He took on, I'm not testing the microphone, I'm testing your heart. He took on all of my sin. He took on all of my sin. He took on the sins of the world. He took on all of the sin that I committed from the time I was a baby, because I was born with a sin nature. Mother told the little boy, said, Tommy, I want you to go outside and play. And he said, I can't go out there. said, there's a lion out there in the yard. He said, Tommy, you know that there's not a lion out there in the yard. You go to your room and you pray and ask God to forgive you of that sin. You get right with God before you come back down here. We took off. Little Wally hollered downstairs and said, can I come down? She said, yeah. He started down the steps and she said, did you pray about that sin of lying to God and ask God what He thought about it? He said, I sure did. She said, what did God say? God said, Tommy, I wouldn't worry that much about it. I thought it was a lion the first time I saw it too. That's not what God's like, is it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every sin that I've ever committed from the time of my birth, and I was conceived in sin. You were too. That's what the Bible says. That there was a sin nature about you from the time that you were born. Spoiltness. Jealousy. I want, these kids want what the other kids got. Try to take it away from them by force, if they can. And cry and hit the other one if it doesn't go to suit them. All the sin. Now let's dig a little deeper in the well. All the sin that I've ever committed from my birth forward. Now I come to a point of what we Baptists call the age of accountability. Where you're accountable for your sin. Everybody in this room's already reached the age of accountability. It's when you're responsible for your sin. So, I asked Jesus into my heart as Savior, and He came in, and He saved my soul. The Bible says that He gave me a new heart, because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Some translations use the word creation, a new creation. And it's not temporary, it's forever. There's no such thing in the Scriptures temporary salvation. There's no such thing as temporary eternal life. Think about that; those two terms don't even go together. Eternal life, temporary, that doesn't go. There's no such thing as temporary salvation. It's forever. He gives us a new heart. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If your life hasn't changed, you've got a problem. Doesn't mean that you don't sin. Now let's get to this point. Let's get to this point of the sin that you have committed and I have committed since I have become a Christian. Now, there's some groups out there that believe that they can reach a place where they don't sin. And then there's a group out there that teaches if you sin, you lose your salvation. They're both wrong. They're both wrong. You can't lose it. And you do sin after you get saved. So what about that sin that I sin after I get saved? I have not yet to find a place in the Scripture where it talks about Jesus dying on the cross, and He died just for the sins that I committed before I got saved. He died for all of my sin. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious state. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Oh, my soul! He died for all of my sin. He's my Father. The Heavenly Father is my Father. I can cry out, my Father, Daddy. Jesus Christ, my brother. And He's paid. God sent His Son to be, and let me give you this word, the propitiation for my sin. One of the things, y'all want to know what me and Gwen have trouble over? You know, most of you think that, where's she at? She's shaking her head. Most of you think that we just sit around and read the Bible and we got this whole halo over our head and we walk around like this and we're always praying for the saints. And every once in a while we're fighting. Well, we're arguing. We don't actually get in any striking matches. Well, she would if I didn't know. Let me tell you one of the things that irritates her the most in this age that we have come to. What would it be? I forgot. When she does the bank account, when she's working on the bank account, what she accuses me of is not writing stuff down. What does this word propitiation mean? And this is what she'll say to me. I'm going to quit doing this and you're going to have to do it yourself. I said, that's your job. That's the only job you've got. I mean, surely you can do that. She gets so aggravated because I don't write down checks. So anyway, she really quarrels at me about that. And she says, well, you didn't write all these checks down. And you also never wrote any of the deposits down. And I'm supposed to figure that out? Let me tell you what propitiation means. It is applied to my account on the good. Jesus Christ's blood is applied to my account. Now think about it. There is no way. How wonderful this is. How wonderful this word of propitiation is. How wonderful it is. It's applied to my account. It's applied to my account. Now I never do want to know how many checks I wrote that I didn't write down, how many times I used the card. Mostly it's those debit cards get you in trouble. But it's using those debit cards and not writing it down. But I'm not interested in how many checks I didn't write down. But I am interested. How many deposits did we have? Propitiation is the deposit that Jesus Christ made for my sin. You get the picture? He stretched out His arms on the cross, so mutilated that you wouldn't recognize Him as a human being. And He paid the ultimate price for my sin. What it took for Lanny to be saved, He paid that price. And He posted it to my account forever. On that day, that fateful day, that the Holy Spirit of God had dealt with my heart. And I realized that I was a sinner and lost, and there was no hope for me. I called on the name of the Lord to come into my heart and save my soul. And He did. I made so many mistakes. Since then, but that account is already took care of. It's already okay. And you say, well, that ought to give us legal, that'd give us legal access to sin. No, no. That's not what that word propitiation is about. It's about that your account has been paid and your heart has been changed. Doesn't mean that you won't sin. You will sin. But it does mean that the price is paid for you. The price has been paid for me. Now, there might be someone here that has not yet said to Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior. There might be someone here whose mama had said to them, it's time for you to make that decision. There may be someone here that you came forward in service and went through the motions of being saved because some of your friends did, or that's what was going on in the church, and everybody that age had already done it. And it was time for you. It didn't mean not one thing other than you became religious, not saved, not born again. So if that's you, what I'm going to ask you to do, Matt's going to come. Piano player's going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to be saved today. If you're already saved, I'm going to ask you. I don't know if you're following the outline or not. I wasn't very good. I'll pick up on that the next time I preach, and we'll go through the outline. It's a good one. One of the better ones I've done, I think. Anybody, you know. Let's stand together. Whatever God's dealing with your heart about, whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to come today. Maybe it's to come to this altar and pray for somebody else. Maybe you want to pray with me. Maybe it's something in your own heart, a decision that you want to make. Then you come and make that decision. As we're saying, you come.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've had today to hear your word through Brother Lanny. And we ask that you apply all the things that we've tried to learn today to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we ask that you be with all our people. We ask that you be with all the people that have lost ones in the last few days. And we ask that you also be with them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.